Some time ago, we started to look at apologetics, which I have mentioned that is a way of offering a rational justification for the Christian beliefs and for the Christian worldview. However, last time, I took a break from that, we looked at a teaching of Paul from Romans chapter 1. And I believe that the teaching of the Word of God, of the principles found in the Bible and doctrine, and apologetics are two things that go together. And you can't have one without the other. And that's why I want to alternate between those two. This morning, however, I'd like to continue a little bit what we talked about last time. And if you recall, last time I stopped at a very interesting, very well-known, actually, passage from Romans 1, verses 16 through 17. And I mentioned that in those verses we find that the Apostle Paul tells us what is the secret of the power of the gospel. And he says that in the book of Romans and elsewhere, he says that there's no one who is righteous. When he looks at all sorts of people, all kinds of categories of people, religious, pagan, moral people, they all are ultimately not righteous enough in the face of God, before God. However, he also tells us, the Apostle Paul told us, he keeps saying that in his epistles, especially in Romans and in Galatians, that there is another righteousness that one may have. And that righteousness is given to us when we receive it by faith. And it is counted to us as if it were our own righteousness. It is imputed to us. This is a righteousness that's not gained by any effort. It's a righteousness that's foreign because it's not ours. It is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a righteousness that is perfect. It is not something that you can add to or increase. It is absolutely perfect because the Lord Jesus obeyed and fulfilled the law, and He is the only one who was able to do that. God, as the judge of the universe, decided to give us, to count us as righteousness. When? When we believe in Him. And that's why Paul says that the gospel is the power of God to save, because that's how the gospel saves. Because God is able to take that righteousness of Christ and count it to us. Now, this act of God of counting us righteousness is called justification. It is an act by which God declares us righteous. Now, we have to keep in mind that God does not make us righteous by this. That's something separate. That's something different. But justification is something where God just declares us in front of His holiness and before His justice as perfectly righteous in His sight. Now, there are certain benefits which flow out of justification, and that's what I want to look at today for just a few minutes. When you're declared righteous, certain things happen and certain blessings come in your life. If you look at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and I encourage you to read those on your own. I'm only going to read a few verses from here. But if you look here, you'll see a list of those benefits. Some have identified as many as 7. I see probably about between 5 and maybe a maximum of 6. But we're only going to look at 3 this morning. Before we do that, I want to read a couple of verses. We're actually going to read the first 2 verses of chapter 5 and then verses 9 and 10. So let's listen to this. I'm going to read from the NIV. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Skipping down to verse 9. And we have, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? The first benefit that jumps at us right away from verse 1 is that we have peace with God. To be justified means to be counted righteous, and that's the only way to have a normal relationship with a God who is holy. In the past, we were at war with God, and what a relief it is to know that we have peace with God and we're no longer at war with him. What else can be worse than being in a state of war with the creator of the universe? But because we are counted righteous, because we're justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, says Paul. And that's the first blessing, the first benefit of justification, of being declared righteous. The second one is access into God's grace. You see that in verse 2. Verse 2 says, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We have to be very careful. We live in a day and in a culture when we think that we can just approach God anytime we want and just anytime we please. But the reality is that the teaching of the Bible is that God is a holy God. He is a God who cannot stand the presence of sin and who must, because of his nature, eliminate that sin from his presence and destroy it. And so when we come as sinners, we're in a very dangerous position. We can't just approach this holy God as any way we please. The Bible says that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have gained access into the grace of God. So now we have access to God, and not only that, but God treats us in accordance, according to his grace. His grace is his unmerited favor for us. It's giving us what we don't deserve and not giving us what we deserve. You see that Paul says that we stand in this grace. This is a firm position that we are in. So if you're justified, not only do you have peace with God, but you know that you are in a state of grace and you stand in this state because of what Christ has done in your place. And the third benefit that I'm going to stop at is deliverance from future condemnation. And you see that in verses 9 and 10. In verse 9 it says, since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Now, this is something that's not very well received by people, and especially nowadays. I don't think this was ever a pleasant thing for people at any time in history, to talk about the fact that God is a God who has wrath when it comes to sin and manifests that wrath. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says that he is even now displaying that wrath towards sin. The problem is that if we don't somehow separate ourselves from our sin, we have no chance but to be under the wrath of God. But you see, the apostle says that because we have that foreign righteousness of Christ, now we are actually delivered from the future condemnation, from the wrath of God. This gives us a great assurance of salvation. How so? How are we delivered from the judgment and the condemnation of God? See, if you look in verse 6, and I encourage you to read this passage on your own, but for now, let's just look at verse 6. It says, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, listen, there's four descriptions of how we were before salvation in this chapter. It says powerless in this verse. And then Christ died for the ungodly. That's the second description of people before salvation. And verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, that's the third description, Christ died for us. Now think about it. When we were like that, powerless, ungodly, sinners, then at that point Christ died for us. But it was actually even worse, because verse 10 says that we were enemies of God. For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled through the death of His Son. So you see, we were powerless, ungodly sinners and enemies of God. And even then, God chose to give His Son, and His Son died for us and for our sins. Now, here's what Paul says. If Christ died for us when we were like that, how about now? How is He going to deal with us now? How is He going to treat us now? What about now? And he says that now we are safe from God's wrath, and we're safe through the life of Christ, who now lives and is in heaven, and He intercedes for us as the high priest of God. Let me ask you this. Isn't it amazing to have all those blessings? And all of them come and flow from the fact that we have been declared righteous in the sight of God. We have peace with God. We have access into God's grace. We have deliverance from future condemnation. Do you have these things? Do you have the peace that Paul speaks about, peace with God? Do you know that you have access into God's presence and into His grace? Do you know that you have been delivered from the future condemnation that God will bring upon the ungodly? You may have it by faith in Christ, by trusting in what the Savior has done for us on the cross. Because when you trust Christ, that's when God counts His righteousness as yours. But if you already do have those things, if you understand that you have been saved by God, then you may thank God for all those benefits, and you may rejoice in the blessings of justification. And again, read verses 1 through 11 on your own and meditate on what they have to say. But don't stop there. Live a life that's worthy of these realities. Amen.